Yesterday, my sermon was one verse. We couldn't get through one verse because of James has a lot to say. It says, "Let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment." So that's the sermon. It's a look at all the pressure. You know, you better think twice before you become a teacher, whether it's a Bible teacher or whether it is a school teacher. That's where we're going to spend most of our time here in this sermon. Is woe to you school teachers. Woe to you that know the truth and suppress it. Woe to you to know that there's a God up in heaven. Woe to you that know in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth and you don't say it. Woe to you who know that male and female created he them. And don't say anything about it. Now, Paul warned in Romans chapter 1 about those that suppress. That means to hold down or hold back like a furious kettle of boiling water. Those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, that they're just as guilty as everyone else in the rest of that chapter. So especially school teachers, and that's what we're looking at. The pressure that's on a school teacher to speak the truth. Trust God. Lean on him and fall back on him, but always, always to stand with God and never against God. I think that's my whole sermon. Anyway, this will play today, and I'll let this opening serve tomorrow as well. So perhaps you're listening in on Tuesday. So it's about a 30 or so minute sermon. Play Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday night, I invite you to church. We're going through Luke verse by verse. We're in chapter 8 this Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. Love to see you. Here now, let's get into the Word. Let's get into this past weekend sermon. So you want to be a teacher? Then he says this, "I will kill her children with death." This is Jesus speaking. "I will kill her children with death. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches minds and hearts. And I will give to every one of you according to your works. But to you, I say, to the rest who are in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden." So the only burden was to get rid of this woman who was teaching and leading the people of God astray at this church in Thyatira. Look at his terrible threat he's pronounced over these people. Number one, the woman's going to be thrown into a sick bed or a stretcher. Number two, those that follow her, Jesus said he's going to cast into great tribulation. Number three, he said he was going to kill her children or her followers. Number four, he will pay back all those who know what's going on and have allowed it. That is, I will give to each one according to their works. Those that sat there in the church and allowed it without doing anything about it, he will give to everyone according to their works. And number five, he's going to examine your kidneys. I love this where it says reins in the King James. I am he that searches reins. Rein is the Greek word for kidney. Really, it means your bowels, your intestines. Have you ever heard that phrase before? I've got a, about this. Right, a gut feeling. And that song that we sing, I always want to tell Carol to fix the spelling of that word because it's wrong. Where it says, that song that we sing, it says, "Straight is the way." It's not straight. It's straight. Straight, constricted, narrow is the way. It's not straight, a straight line. It means, oh, how narrow is the gate that leads to heaven. And there are so few that find it. That's how you spell that. He's going to examine your gut feeling to see if you too had a gut feeling about it. Even your heart, even your kidneys. He can look and examine you from head to toe. Do you even have a gut feeling about this evil teacher in here misleading people? And Jesus knows all. He won't judge anyone incorrectly. He can read your kidney. Our friend Rodney, friend of Jim's and mine, just got two brand new ones. Been praying for him. He can read your kidneys. So God doesn't take it too kindly when people who claim to speak for him mislead the people. That's my point of what we're looking at here. Old Testament, one verse, Deuteronomy 18, which includes a prophet misleading people. The prophet who will presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of someone else, that prophet shall die. Deuteronomy 18:20. So the Bible's clear. Let not many of us become teachers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment. God is going to hold teachers accountable for what they do and for what they teach. Way back 22 years ago, for me, it was November 26, 2000, the day I was ordained. And I used the following text at my ordination. It was 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. And 22 years later, I'll still say it in front of all of you. And that is what Paul said. He said this. He said, speaking to the people, he said, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Imitate me. The Greek word mimetai, where the word mimic comes from. Imitate me. This is what with the responsibility of the preacher. God's going to hold me accountable for what I say and what I teach to you. Imitate me. That needs to be my testimony as well. I've made it my testimony. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. I try to be a good example of living a Christian life, living out the Christian life, one in which to follow, both in life and in the face of death. And I look around and I see pastors and Bible teachers doing bad things and teaching false doctrine. But Jesus says, woe to you teachers. Read your Bibles. Fear God. Woe to you and woe to me when people trust us as teachers and you and I prevent people from discovering the truth. Or we deliberately mislead people. Now, speaking of misleading someone, there's the dangers of misleading a child as a teacher. That's the second group I want to address this morning. First, we looked at Bible teachers. People in the Old Testament represented God, whether a prophet, scribe, Pharisee. Now I want to look at a second kind of teacher. Jesus pronounces this woe against school teachers. Any school teachers here today? Amanda, a school teacher? Mother? Jennifer? Mark chapter 9, verse 42. Jesus says this. Whoever shall offend one of these little ones. Picture little Vinny or Giovanni out here. Jesus points them out, calls them over to himself, wraps his arms around them, and says, look at these two kids right here. Hear him speaking to you today. Whichever one of you causes one of these two kids here to stumble, the word is offend. Actually, that word means here, that word scandalon, where our word scandal comes from. It means to offend them. Whoever in this church causes these two kids over here to stumble or to be offended because of what's come out of your mouth deliberately to mislead them, He says, whoever shall offend or cause to stumble one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for them that a millstone was hanged around his neck and he was cast into the sea. Now that's about the equivalent of one of those giant cement pillars that holds up 520. Taking that, wrapping it around your neck, chartering Captain Jim's boat, and he'll take you out there to the 8 mile buoy and dropping you off there and saying goodbye. Down you. You'd be better off if that happened to you than if you hurt one of these kids here. If you misled one of them. Jesus cares about the children. This is why this warning in here, whoa, you better be careful. Don't deceive one. Don't mislead one. Don't cause one to be offended that believes in him. All right, how can a school teacher cause a child who believes in Jesus to stumble? Point number one, teach that child evolution. This will do it every time. You tell one of these children that believes in Jesus Christ that they came from an ape. We laugh and chuckle and say this or that, but I'll tell you what, the time is coming when you're going to stand naked and you're going to have to give an account for that, and your judgment's going to be different than Carol's or mine or one of you. It's going to be more severe. All right, teach a child evolution. Even in broader terms, just teach standard curricula to that child. Ask a Christian school teacher what would happen to them if they taught that Darwin, which is true, what I'm going to tell you, was a disturbed, troubled youth and had an axe to grind against the church. Did you know that about him? His father was this mean-spirited, nasty old man that beat the tar out of him and, of course, was a deacon in his church. So he grew up hating Christ and hating the church and had an axe to grind against the church. Ask a Christian in a public school that said that to some of their students, what would happen to them? Or to teach there's no such thing as evolution in public school? A teacher that teaches a child that the origin of the species is something or someone other than God? That teacher is in danger and has committed a grievous sin. God said this, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God has said in Genesis 1:24, let the earth bring forth the living creature after its kind, cattle, creeping thing, beast of the earth after its kind, and it was so. God made the beast of the earth after its kind, the cattle after their kind, everything that creeps on the earth after its kind, God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. How else can a school teacher cause a child to stumble? Right here in the last part of this verse. By taking part of this evil gender revolution that's infected schools across this country. Now, I've read that some teachers, instead of asking children what they want to be when they grow up, instead they ask them what sex they want to be now when they grow up. Someone sent me a story the other day. I read it on Fox. They're trying right now to have a transgender in every classroom within 2 years. This is wrong. Not only are these people sick, they're infected with the spirit. This is a spiritual issue these people have. And I just want to warn school teachers that hear this on the radio or on a podcast, God is warning you, be careful what you say and be careful what you do, because you will be held to a higher standard because you are a school teacher. Woe to you who mislead a child. All right, now since I wrote this sermon 5 years ago, look at how bad this has gotten. Last Saturday, Jane handed me a letter from the LGBTQIA. I think I got all the letters there. LGBTQIA plus of Brevard County, addressed to me here at this church, ordering me to cease and desist. From preaching. And specifically telling children that there are two sexes. I've got the letter in my office. You can read it if you want.
Even if they reverted to science.
One of the great things about this church is that you'll always hear the truth out of this pulpit, week in and week out. Some people don't like it, but at least you'll know that out of 168 hours for the week, for 40 minutes, you can come in here, and at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, you're going to hear. Remember, I was telling Darren this morning, it's not my opinion. You're not going to hear what I think about the Bible. You're going to come in here, and for 40 minutes, you're going to hear God's opinion on things. And if you cover verse by verse like we do, every book of the Bible, eventually you're going to cover everything. From how to treat your wife, from how to live right. It's not me making these things up. How can a school teacher cause a child to stumble? Point number three, by keeping quiet. By keeping quiet. A child, all right, let's put it this way. How many in this church can remember the name of a teacher they had in elementary school? Whoop! Everybody. And? I know you remember one. Right. Let's try that again. Every blessed soul in this church remembers at least one teacher. Look at the impact they've had on you in your life. Look at the impact you can have on a child's life. By trusting in God and leaving the results up to Him. You can ingrain into their soul the truth. Speak up. Make God proud. Speak the truth and leave the results up to Him this morning. Okay, one more. If God really wants to be a stickler on Judgment Day, point number four here, for how can a school teacher cause a child to stumble? Point number four, by not teaching the fear of the Lord. By not teaching the fear of the Lord. Wisdom and knowledge begin right here. Listen to these two verses. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. You want your kids to be smart? Fear the Lord first. It's not learning any alphabet. It's fearing God. You teach that in someone that's 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, they'll remember it their whole life. As much as I remember a school teacher when I was 8, they will remember. You've ingrained into their soul that there's a God up in heaven. Then you won't go around here shooting people up anymore in this godless society that we live in. No one fears God anymore. That's the problem. Amen. Now you're getting my opinion into that. Sorry. But the Bible says that you want to get smart, fear God and you'll be smart. The second one, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord, or at first it said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You really want to be smart? Know God better. It's not how many days on Jeopardy you can win in a row. It's do you know Jehovah? Do you have a relationship with God? Do you love the Lord? Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? If you die leaving this parking lot today, where are you going? Cindy points up. Real understanding is knowing God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is true wisdom and true understanding. It's having your name in the book. Paul, when he understood and grasped all this, he said, men and brethren, what shall we say? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's what we need to do today, friends. Know and understand that God, well, is God on your side, first of all? Starts there. Is God on your, we're going to find out later in a couple weeks, to be friends with the world is to be God's enemy. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. You can't be both, because if you're friends with God, they're going to hate you out here in this world. Simple. Go on into this school here down there and you tell them you believe in intelligent design. Tell them that there's two sexes, male and female. If you take that stand, you will be an outcast out here today. And be separate, 2 Corinthians 6:17. And don't touch what is unclean. I will receive you, he said. You can't have both. You're either a friend of God or you're a friend of this world. And I encourage you, stick with the Lord. Stick with God. This is an evil, crooked world that's out to get you. And you. And you. And me. James instructs his reader not to be so willing to become teachers, because if you do, it becomes your responsibility to tell them what you know. And you'll be appropriately judged for it. You know, we read also in Romans about those that know the truth and don't say anything. Can't let that happen either. Those, it says, who suppress the truth. That means to hold it. That means to know the truth and not say anything about it. To know there's a God up in heaven, that you didn't evolve from an ape and a monkey. You know the truth. It's your job to speak up and tell people what you know. Not to just keep silent for a paycheck. Stick with God. Follow him. Walk with him. Take his side every time. And believe me, God will bless you for it. You will be rewarded for doing the right thing. Side with God every time. Let God be true and every man a liar. Take his side. Stand up for the truth. Don't suppress the truth. Don't hold it down in unrighteousness. There's so much lies and evil out here in the world that God's looking for a few good men and women that'll stand up here, remember the truth, and then when they hear it at the next teacher's meeting, when you guys go to one of these meetings here for your kid, and they say, well, we want your kids to understand, so we're going to have transvestites come in and sit in on your class next year. God's looking for a few good men and women that are going to stand up and say, that's not right. That's not right. I can't force you to choose sides. I just encourage you, as your pastor, choose God. Amen. You'll win every time. Let's pray.
the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM
102.3. With good news for today from Baptist Press, I'm Brandon Porter in Anaheim, California. The Supreme Court did not release rulings on three cases Monday that Baptist Press is closely following. The High Court did not rule on Dobbs versus Jackson.